First Thessalonians chapter number 5 and go down to verse number 16. I am going to use a text that I have used before unapologetically because God has led me to this portion of Scripture. And I just believe I need to preach a message that I preached years ago with a different wrinkle on it. I just want to preach it. And ain't nothing wrong with it. Most of you, if you're old enough like me, you done forgot it. All right? And I just want to be a blessing to you this morning. Some exhortation I want you to see in the Bible this morning. This is not easy exhortation, but it's the right exhortation. In verse number 16, rejoice evermore. Let's just sit back a minute. I've had more blessings. That I've had heartaches. I've had more glory than I've had downtimes. And he didn't say rejoice when you're up. He didn't say rejoice when you're in. He said rejoice all the time. How many of y'all got some things to be thankful for this year? Raise your hand. I tell you one thing, that alone ought to make you want to take a lap around here and rejoice because God loves you this morning. And we ought to rejoice because of what He's done for us.
Amen.
Then, but there's got to be a balance. Pray without ceasing. I want to tell you one thing, every family in this room, they'll be, hey, listen to me. If you don't pray, the devil will sneak up on you when you're not thinking about it. When you think there's no devil around, he's always around. And we need to pray without ceasing, not for yourself, but for all. And pray for one another.
Amen.
Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. That's on down, but let me go back. Verse 18. Let me read 19:20. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. But I want to back up to verse 18 because that's my text. I want to be honest with you this morning. This is the most bewildering, most difficult text I've ever read in my life. This text is the most difficult text for me to understand in the Bible. But I'll give it to you. Notice it didn't say for. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Did y'all hear that? How many of you, that's a little difficult if you really think about it. Now, if it ain't difficult for you, that's all right. But it is for me. Because it's hard for me to be thankful for cancer when it just took out one of our beloved members. It's hard. It's hard for me to be thankful for people that are breathing today and have went through death in the last few months. And some of our church family has faced it for the last 2 years, 4 or 5 people. It's hard to be thankful for that. It's hard to be thankful when you don't understand everything and you're in the dark and you feel like the devil's beating you from all sides and you just, it's hard to be thankful. But I want you to know something. He said, in everything, give thanks. I'm sitting here and saying, God, but does that mean this? God, does that mean that? God, does that mean that over yonder? Does that mean that over yonder? In everything, give thanks. Does that mean if you get heart disease, And that's one of them in everything. Does that mean if you're crippled with arthritis or you feel like you're going down and you just don't understand, does that mean in everything? Yes. But let me give you the title. I'm thankful for what I'm not thankful for. I'm thankful. I'm not thankful for cancer. I'm not thankful for diabetes. I'm not thankful for arthritis. I'm not thankful for homes that are getting beat around. I'm not thankful for the battles that churches go through. But I'm thankful in everything. Because, see, I still got this verse. For God, the Bible said, all things work together for the good of them that love God. To them are called according to His purpose.
Amen.
Let me give you just five things. That the things that I'm not thankful for, but I'm supposed to, in everything, give thanks, has caused me to do. I'll tell you what will happen. Some kind of adversity comes to you, if you're really saved, it'll drive you to a place of prayer. God's got a way. So look at me. God's got a way, but I don't understand and you don't understand. God's got a way to push us down to our face and say, you hungry, low down thing, you need to be there. Get there. And the only way you and I get there and really agonize and pray, we got to have the door slammed in our face. We got to be faced with something. We got to be approached something. But I want you to know this morning, thank God for those things I'm not thankful for because they show me seek the Lord and He may be found. Call unto Him and He will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I would never know power of prayer. I would never know a God that could reach me if I was not forced to a place to pray. Can I ask congregation this? Let me share this then, ask you. I probably have said this before. They surveyed 1,000 independent Baptist people from all over America. And they asked them how long they prayed today. How long did you pray? And with honesty, they filled the survey out and said, so many minutes. They put in a computer. They calculated from those 1,000 people how much people pray. How much people pray. And they came up with 3 minutes. The average church member prays 3 minutes a day. I'm not saying you. We want to know why the devil is after us and he's on our heels and we don't have power to overcome sometimes. And I'm talking about me before anybody else. It's because you talk to your boss more than 3 minutes. What if your relationship at home, you only talk to your parents 3 minutes? Or you only talk to your husband 3 minutes? Or your wife 3 minutes? Dear God, that'd be a war sometime down the road, wouldn't it? Amen? Now my wife says, I got selective hearing. And I've told her she has selective speaking. And Listen to me. When we're all going through, and that thing that you're not thankful for comes to you, let me say to you, it'll drive you to a place of prayer. But number two, I like this right here. It'll not only drive you to a place of prayer, it'll make you sense the presence of God. I want y'all to know we take the presence of God. Thank you, brother. We take the presence of God for granted. Let me walk down among you. The presence of God is more than just coming into church service and doing what we've done a few minutes ago and shout it out. If that's all the presence of God is, we are in a mess. The presence of God is when you're out in the nighttime and you feel no relief. And there is a still small voice comes and says, you're going to be all right. God's on the throne. I'll take care of you. I want to tell you, I had some more, the most happy, blessed, joyful times I've had in the Holy Ghost was in church. It is when I was experiencing pain and the sweet Holy Ghost came and God came. Wow! And the presence of God. How many love the presence of God in your life when He's showing up and you know He's there in your agony and your distress? God is there. Man, that makes you want to shout. Have you ever experienced that? How about you? How about you? Oh, yeah. I know your testimony. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, if we don't have the money, we can do without a turkey this Thanksgiving. If we don't have the money, we can do without a ham. If we don't have the money, we can do without dressing. But we can't do without the presence of God. We can't do without the glory of God. We can't do without God helping us and taking us through and giving us mercy and grace in the time of need.
Amen.
Number three. Can I ask the congregation this? Have you ever been, how many of you have been through something and before you got in it, you thought you'd never make it? Raise your hand. Number three, those things that beat us to death, they not only bring us to a place of prayer and realizing His presence, but they also bring us the power of God. You and I would never know the power of God if it wasn't for difficulty. We would never know how God can fill your life and give you the power of God to keep on keeping on without difficulty. I want you to know something. I may fail you. You may fail yourself. Others may fail you. But I want to tell you, there's a God in heaven never failed. There's a God in heaven said there's nothing too hard for Him. You might be here this morning and you're down on your luck. You might be here this morning. You feel like there's nobody that cares. I want you to know there's a God in heaven that can come where you are this morning and bless you and give you the power to keep on keeping on. I'm talking about the power of God. I'm not necessarily talking about shouting. I'm not talking about screaming out loud. I'm talking about somebody who's able to take you through anything and everything just because He is who He is. Hallelujah. Some of you, I know you. I've been your preacher a long time. You've been told some things from the doctor. And you thought, sounds like that's a gloomy outlook. Well, see what it is, doctor, no offense. There's some power higher than you. And when he says, the world says you're finished, God might just be saying, you've just begun. Thank God for the power of God. Thank God for a God that is in there. There's some, let me ask you, how many of you experienced the power of God in your darkest time? And if it wasn't for him, you'd have never got through that dark time. You know what I'm saying? If you want to say amen, that's all right. If you don't, all right. But God comes. You're in the dark times. Whew. Number four. Oh, I like this. If it wasn't for the bad thing, we'd never realize his provision. I mean, God taking care of your needs. How many of you? You know what I'm talking about this morning. A God that takes care of your needs. A God that supplies all of your needs. I'm going to tell you, David said, I was young and I'm now old and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Can I tell you, God is faithful. I wasn't expecting to get a new suit this week, to tell you the truth. A Thanksgiving suit. Wasn't. I didn't have money to buy one, so I wasn't going to buy one. I'm almost sued out. And God laid it on that man's heart to buy me a suit. I like the suit, but him just thinking about me meant more than the suit.
Amen.
God is faithful. I want to look to you that are going through moments today and you think, oh God, I can't make it. God, I just don't understand. Can I tell you today? Can I look at you in your face today? God has got provision. My God will supply all your needs. According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. A providing God. Let me ask you something, sir. You know, I know some of us are better off than we used to be financially. How many of you remember when it was hard financially? Slip your hand up. We had a fella came here. His son comes here today. Maybe I'll ask the congregation how many remember him. Pop Burton. Yeah, several. Pop Burgett lived up next, on the other end of Taze Valley Road, all the way up next to Scary Creek. He married a woman that, believe us or not, she was a nanny to me when I was a baby. And she used to beat me to death along with my mother. And that's Mrs. Prime. Pop Burgett told me this story. And I have no, I believe him. He said, God takes care of me, preacher. He said, I didn't have anything in my billfold last week. And I reached down and there was a 20. I thought, does he have problems? See, I can't believe God. You know, that's how we are when we're that young. And you know what he done with the 20? Stuck it in my pocket. And you know what he done with the 20 for till he went home to be with the Lord? Every week, me and Miss Marguerite got a $20 bill, either in her billfold or in her pocketbook from Pop Burgett. You know what old Elijah was down one time, low as it could be, going to starve to death. And then God, boy, I'm about to shout right here, sent a preordained raven. And it was under a moment of famine in the land. There wasn't no food except in one place, and that was Ahab's house. I personally think they had GPSs on them. And God sent those ravens, and they went into Ahab's house and got meat and bread. And flew down to Elijah, and Elijah had fed him and strengthened him. And I want you to know something. You say, I just don't believe that story. I want, how many of you, there's been times in your life you didn't have, but God came on the scene and he gave when you didn't have anything to give.
Amen.
That's my God. So in everything, give thanks. Lastly, this brings joy. Those things that I'm not thankful for, Ken, they make me long for heaven. And I'm glad I got a prepared place in heaven. There'll be no tear there. There'll be no misunderstanding there. There'll be no heartaches there. Can I tell you, there's going to be a day one day that we're going to go to a place that's fairer than day, where there's no sickness, where there's no sorrow, where there's no pain, where there's no heartache. Hallelujah!
Amen.
I wouldn't appreciate heaven and his preparation if everything was good down here. Well, if everything's good down here, Brother Paul, why not just stay here? Well, everything's good down here, then why not us just pitch a tent and stay here? Everything ain't good down here. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. If heaven's not my home, oh, Lord, what would I do? Boy, maybe I'll join the choir tonight. Can I tell you a story and I'm done? This happened years and years ago. My dad is and was my hero. My daddy was going through something. I didn't know that he had an aneurysm. I didn't know it. My family didn't know it. I was going through some discouragement. And this is my first church at Leatherwood Baptist, and I led him to the Lord there in Leatherwood Baptist. I was up there kind of pooch-lipped. And he come up and said, it's fine for me to talk a little bit. You sit down. Well, But you got to honor your father and your mother. I said, have at it, Dad. He said, son, I know you're drooping a little bit, but I want to tell you something, what God wants to tell you one day. Well done. I want you to know something. He went and sat down. And the next Friday, he had his accident with his brain, and Brother Ray knows him well, and died 80 pounds later, 7 years later. But I'll never forget. And here's all I want from heaven, though I'm going to get a whole lot more than I want. I want the Lord to say, well done.
Amen.
Thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. We wouldn't know the glories of heaven. I tell you what, and I hope I don't cause emotion to these two families, Doris and Kay, I don't want to do that. I miss your brother's words of encouragement. I miss your husband coming around. This last month's been tough. The loss of him. Tough. But I want to tell you what. I'm seeing Gary Young again. I'm seeing Aubrey Grant again. How many of y'all got loved ones on the other side? We are going to see them again. In everything. Amen.